morning, everyone. My name's Peter, and today I am concluding our series, In the Beginning, where we've been looking at Genesis chapter 1, and we have been looking at John chapter 1. We saw in that bumper that we just watched those verses that come from John chapter 1. And Pastor Todd has been talking about creation, and he's talking about the truth and the nature of God and how God created mankind and our purposes. And I want to just continue in that today. But I want to start with a survey. All right, I want to take a survey today. It's going to be very simple. It's just going to be thumbs up or thumbs down, okay? I'm going to need your participation for this. So very simple. Thumbs up is going to be like, I agree, I accept it, I like it, I want it. Thumbs down is I reject it, not interested, no thank you, don't want any of that, all right? And my only caveat is that you have to decide thumbs up or thumbs down, okay? You can't just stay in the middle and, I don't know. All right, thumbs up or thumbs down, very simple. Okay, we're going to do this gladiator style. Did you see the movie Gladiator? Okay, we're going to hold our thumb out to the side like this. The tension of, is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? And then I'm simply going to put an image on the screen. I'll give you a word, and you're just going to vote thumbs up or thumbs down. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Number one is apples. Apples. How do you feel about apples? You accept apples? You reject apples? You're like, no, I like apples. I'm a fan of apples. For me, on this one, I'm going thumbs down. Thumbs down. Too many apple pie fundraisers as a teenager and as a youth, peeling all those apples, making all those apple pies. I'm sorry. I don't want apples any longer. Okay, I got another one for you. Reset. Reset the tension. The tension. All right. This next one is cats. Cats. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Now, no judgment here, all right, because maybe you're allergic to cats, or maybe you just aren't a cat person, all right? It's okay. There's no judgment. On this one, I'm going to go thumbs up, thumbs up. We got a cat about 2 years ago, Aslan, and who knew I was a cat person? I like my cat. All right. Now, I think there's probably somebody here who is thinking, I hope he doesn't get political. You know, I hope this doesn't get political next. And there's probably somebody else who's thinking, I hope he does get political. Yeah, put some photos up there. I'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, not to worry. I'm not going to go political. Although this last one is going to be a little controversial. All right, are you ready? Thumb to the side. Will you go up? Will you go down? All right. Accept or reject. I like it. I don't like it. The Edmonton Oilers. Oh, were you cheering for the Oilers during the Stanley Cup final? Some thumbs up, some thumbs down. On this one, I'm going to go with a thumbs down as the Flames' biggest rival. I was not cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, you can put your hands down. I do have to say that the position of my thumb on each of those topics does not necessarily reflect the views and beliefs of Eastside City Church as a whole. Okay, those were my personal opinions. All right, well, when it comes to thumbs up or thumbs down decisions or voting or things like that in our life, all of the biggest decisions that we have to make about will we accept or will we reject, are we for, are we against, all center around Jesus. Do we accept Jesus as Lord, as Savior? Do we believe that he is the Son of God? Or do we say that we say, no thank you, you know, not interested, we reject Jesus, right? And ultimately, that's not a decision that we make with our thumbs, right? It's not just I gave Jesus a thumbs up one time and that's it. It really comes down to how we live our very lives, right? It comes from our heart. It comes from what we believe and what we say and how we ultimately show and demonstrate it in our lives. And I know that you are here today in person or watching online. You're at church on a long weekend. And so I think we can safely assume that many of us here are those who have accepted Jesus, those who have said yes to Jesus. We're wanting to see Jesus in our lives. That's why you're here. And there's also many who are here, and you may not have made that decision yet. You may have questions about Jesus or about faith. You may be looking for more information, and that's why you're watching online. And it's probably likely that there's not a ton of people who are here who have rejected Jesus, who have said no thank you to Jesus, and yet are still continuing to come to church, right? But anyone who has accepted Jesus, who believes in Jesus, all of us, it begins with recognizing Jesus. That there was a time in your life when you first came to believe, when you first saw Jesus. You caught a glimpse. You know, maybe you were reading your Bible, maybe you were listening to a sermon or talking with a friend, but there was that moment where it was like the light shone or the veil was removed, where you were considering these things and all of a sudden you came to see Jesus. You recognized him as Lord, as Savior. It's like the sun rises and now suddenly you can see everything differently. And think about, what was that like in your life? Do you remember what that moment was or when you first came to see, to recognize Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior? You know, I'm somebody who grew up in church. I don't remember a time when I wasn't a Christian or following Jesus, but there have been many times in my life where I've come to see Jesus, to recognize him. It happened when I was a child. It happened as a teenager, you know, responding to Jesus, seeing him really as my Lord, as my Savior. As a young adult, as an adult, to come back to seeing Jesus, recognizing him. Because we all know how difficult it can be in our life where we get busy, where we face circumstances or crisis, and there's all sorts of things that take our eyes off of Jesus, where suddenly we don't see him, or we come across something or we read something that kind of messes us up and we're not really sure, or it shakes our faith a little bit. It can be easy for us sometimes to be uncertain or have these questions that creep in about Jesus. We need to be good at looking at Jesus, at recognizing him. Because the problem is that we reject what we don't recognize. We reject what we don't recognize. A few weeks ago, I was driving in my vehicle on Stony Trail, and I needed to call into the church office. And so I made that phone call using Bluetooth just in my vehicle, and I got my coworker on the line, and right away I was like, hey, something really important, I need you to go and take care of this for me, can you do this for me? But what I didn't realize was that my voice was distorted by the Bluetooth and by being on Stony Trail, and so my coworker nearly hung up on me because they didn't recognize my voice, and they thought I was just a very demanding stranger, just calling them up and saying, hey, I need you to do all these things. They would have rejected me because they didn't recognize me. Have you ever been in that position in your life where you're out in public and you start to see like someone moving towards you? And you kind of move and they kind of move and you're like, I think someone's following me, or someone, they're coming over, and maybe it's a little dim or a little dark and you're not sure until all of a sudden you recognize them. Oh, I know them from church. Oh, that's a friend of mine, right? Everything changes when we recognize them. A few years ago, I had long hair and I had a long beard. And then I cut my hair short like it is now, and I shaved off my beard. And then I started to notice that I was getting all these strange looks when I would pick up my son PJ from school. Everybody was kind of giving me the side eye, kind of giving me these dirty looks, and I couldn't figure out why until eventually someone asked PJ, my son, if he had a new dad. Apparently they thought that Crystal had married some other really tall white guy, and that PJ had this new dad that was picking him up. They didn't recognize me, and so they started giving me all these funny looks. We reject what we don't recognize. Well, the Bible talks about this in John chapter 1. And as we already saw in our bumper, the first part of John 1, I want to look today, starting in John chapter 1 at verse 10, and read from verse 10 to verse 14. This is what it says. It says, he, that's Jesus, came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. In the first century, there were many people who were looking forward to a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior. And yet many of those people became the people who were the most against Jesus. They missed the very thing that they were looking for, because they did not recognize him as who he truly was. They rejected him. And the problem that I have seen growing up in church is that sometimes we see people who come to recognize Jesus. They see Jesus. They see him accurately for who he truly is. And then over time, or in a big crisis, something changes. Their perspective on Jesus changes. They no longer see him accurately. They no longer recognize Jesus, and they come to reject him. Once they recognize Jesus, now they've rejected him. In 2012, in Borja, Spain, there was an amateur painter and a widow, 82 years old. Her name was Cecilia Jimenez. And she attempted to restore a fresco called Ecce Homo, which is Latin for Behold the Man. It was an almost century-old fresco that was of Jesus crowned with thorns that was at her local church. And despite her best efforts, the restoration was a failure. So here's what the original looked like. We're going to put it on the screen here. Here's the original fresco of Jesus crowned with thorns. You can see it's weathered, it's dated, it's in need of some touching up, some restoration to take it back to what it originally looked like. And then this is the restored version painted onto that picture. That's the end result. Unrecognizable. The problem is that I think there are a lot of people who have a view of Jesus that is just as blurry and indistinct as this fresco. Once they saw Jesus clearly, once they knew him for who he really, truly is, but then things change, circumstances come about in their life, and their perspective of him gets fuzzier and blurrier. They strip away essential parts of who Jesus is. They no longer recognize him, and because they no longer recognize him, they reject him. And before we get on our high horse and think, well, I would never, I think we have to come to this humbly. We got to remember, like Peter, the disciple of Jesus, when Jesus comes to him and says, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Jesus says, well, not me, Lord. No, anybody but me. I would never deny you. And then hours later, he denies Jesus. You know, I need to continually in my life come back to ensuring that I have an accurate view of Jesus. Do I recognize Jesus? Do I see him for who he really is? Am I just picking and choosing the parts of Jesus that I like? Or do I really, truly see him? Do you recognize Jesus? Are you at risk of rejecting Jesus? Because I've seen it in my life. I'm sure you've seen it in your life too. Friends, leaders, pastors who once recognized Jesus and now have rejected Jesus. People that I went to Bible school with, people that I grew up with, they no longer see Jesus accurately. And if I'm not careful, I could come to no longer accurately recognize Jesus. So the problem is Christians are rejecting Jesus because they no longer recognize him. Essential parts of who Jesus is have been stripped away. And so some see Jesus as just a good person, right? Just a sage, a good teacher. They don't recognize his divinity. They like his stories, his parables, but they don't see his divinity. They don't recognize that part of Jesus. Some throughout history have recognized Jesus as just a spiritual being. You know, they like the idea of the spirit of Jesus. They like his divinity, but they get really uncomfortable about thinking about the human Jesus, like having a stuffy nose, you know, waking up with bedhead. It's that part that they can't wrap their mind around, his humanity. So they don't recognize his humanity. There are some who see Jesus as just a fictional character invented by the church, or he was just an innocent guy who just got caught up and the church twisted everything that he said. They don't recognize his historicity. Some Christians only see Jesus as being inoffensive, gentle, and meek and mild, always eating with sinners, never giving anyone a hard time, a picture of Jesus who would never challenge anybody. They take one part of who Jesus is and they make it everything. They don't recognize anything but that. And then there are some Christians who only seem to see Jesus as angry, flipping tables, shutting down the Pharisees with his rhetoric. Some seem to just see little 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus lying in a manger, and some only see Jesus on the cross perpetually suffering for us. When we don't recognize Jesus, when our view of him gets muddled, gets fuzzy, we're at risk of rejecting Jesus. Today, let's look at Jesus and let's see him accurately. Let's look closely at Jesus. You know, when we look at Jesus, the more that we examine Jesus, the more we scrutinize Jesus, the more we come to see that he is like no one else. You can hold Jesus up against any other historical figure, any other God, any other ideology, and you will only see how unique and amazing Jesus truly is. You know, if you come to look at my life, the closer you look at my life, the more flaws and weaknesses you're going to see. If you want to know what my flaws and weaknesses are, you just have to ask my wife or my kids, my closest friends, my coworkers. The closer you get to me, the more that those will become apparent. But the closer we get to Jesus, the more we look at Jesus, the more amazing and incredible we truly see him to be. And so we can look at the complexity of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus. We can look at his loving kindness and his faithfulness, his humanity and his divinity. The closer we look, the more we come to understand how he's not like anyone else. And today I want to give us 4 points to consider, 4 thoughts to look at. What is it that makes Jesus so unique? And much of this comes from G.K. Chesterton's book, The Everlasting Man, which I just read again recently and definitely influenced this portion of my message. But what is it that makes Jesus so unique? Let's look at Jesus again with fresh eyes. Let's come to see Jesus to ensure that we have an accurate understanding of who he is, that we're not just picking and choosing, we're not just creating a painting or a picture or an image of Jesus, but that we're really seeing Jesus. Do we recognize him? What is it that makes Jesus so unique? Number one, no one claimed what Jesus claimed. Look at the things that Jesus said about himself. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's John 8:58. Jesus claimed that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. No one else talked like this. No one else claimed what Jesus claimed. That's Mark 2:10. He claimed that he was the giver of eternal life in John 10:28. That he was the way and the truth and the life in John 14:6. Jesus said, "I saw Lucifer fall like lightning," in Luke 10:18. No one claimed what Jesus claimed. In our series, Pastor Todd shared about creation and shared from Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. And our passage today is from John chapter 1, verse 10. And the first part of our verse that we were reading today is that he came into the very world that he created. And the claim that God came into the world that he created is a uniquely Christian claim. Before Jesus, before Christianity, no one had even thought or considered God coming into the world. And so if we look at people like Plato or Aristotle, right, where they would think about the divine would never come into the mundane world. The mundane world was gross and dirty. It was all about the divine. God coming down, they wouldn't have considered it. If we look at God coming into the world that he created, not as an avatar, like the 10 avatars of Vishnu that we'd see in Hinduism. It's completely different. God becoming a man, not like a swan, or like Zeus becoming a swan in mythology. Not just showing up as an angelic being, but God in the flesh. In the pagan world, they would have considered men who could become gods, like demigods, and they could see a pathway there, but never God becoming a man. Even if we compare Christianity to other world religions, in Islam, God cannot become a man, would not become a man. If he did, he could no longer be God. And so in Islam, it would be like saying God would become a dog to say that he would become a man. It's a uniquely Christian thought. It hadn't even entered into the world until Jesus showed up. It was this entirely new way of seeing everything, that God would come into his creation. Many ancient gods were viewed as adventuring heroes or troublesome meddlers or cosmic forces, not someone that you could eat or drink with. And yet the Bible shows the creator coming into the mundane world. Consider the creator of the universe being born as a vulnerable little baby, hidden away with Mary and Joseph, fleeing into Egypt, the vulnerability of God in the flesh. No one claimed what Jesus claimed. No one claimed what the New Testament claimed. Number two, the uniqueness of Jesus. No one taught like he taught. Beautiful stories from everyday life that Jesus just seemed to come up with on the spot. Paul read some of those same verses today in his offering, where it's Jesus talking about the lilies of the field. And when we read the words of Jesus, it's like he's just coming up with these things. He sees the birds and he sees the animals. He looks out at the lilies of the field and he comes up with this incredibly beautiful, moving teaching, just as though off the top of his head. He's not got all his notes together. He's not like, oh, let me share this with you. He's just coming up with it. It just comes out of him. Beautiful things that still speak to us today. No one taught like he taught. When we look at Jesus, we see, look at him with fresh eyes. Read the Gospels again and notice how often Jesus is talking about himself. I've shared this before in another message, but Jesus is always pointing people to himself. And yet no one ever thinks that Jesus is a narcissist. Because when we look at his life, we see that he's not like a narcissistic person at all in how he lives. And yet he's always pointing to himself. No one taught like he taught. The uniqueness of Jesus is Jesus does the unexpected. He's gentle with those that we'd expect him to be upset with. Prostitutes, tax collectors, people that are full of demons. Jesus laments over the city of Jerusalem that will kill him. Jesus surprises us when we look at him with fresh eyes. Jesus is angry or disappointed with those who we'd expect him to like the most, the very religious and the successful. And Jesus teaches things that are as uncomfortable for us today as they were 2,000 years ago. Read the Sermon on the Mount again with fresh eyes. It should make us uncomfortable. Let me read just an excerpt from Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 to 42. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." When we read those words, isn't there something that rises up inside of us that says, well, but what he really means is, or, well, but if we really look at the context, because it makes us uncomfortable. What if Jesus really meant what he said? We want to look again at Jesus. Do we recognize him? Do we see how amazing, how incredible, how complex, how challenging he is? Whenever I think of God coming into the world that he created, it makes me think of one of my favorite authors, Dorothy Sayers, who wrote detective novels in the 1920s and the 1930s. And her main character was Lord Peter Wimsey. He's an aristocrat who lived in London, and so he had a lot of money and he had a lot of time, and he used it to solve mysteries. But in the books about Lord Peter Wimsey, he's kind of lonely, he's kind of aimless, doesn't have a lot of purpose in his life. And then in the middle of the books, there's a new character who enters, and her name is Harriet Vane, and she's a little bit tall, not overly pretty. She attended Oxford, graduated from Oxford, and she wrote detective novels. And what I love is the speculation, because Harriet Vane and Lord Peter Wimsey, they fall in love, and they get married, and they go on to solve mysteries together. It's like a turning point in the books. But what I love is the speculation. I first read about this in Timothy Keller's book, Encounters with Jesus. But the speculation is that Dorothy Sayers, she in a sort of way fell in love with her character. And she saw that he was aimless and without purpose. And she knew he needed a good woman in his life to turn things around. And so she wrote herself into the story. Because Dorothy Sayers was a little bit tall, not overly pretty, graduated from Oxford, and wrote detective novels. And the two characters fall in love and everything turns around. She wrote herself into the story to save the character that she loved. And that is a picture of what Jesus Christ has done on a much larger and grander scale, that the author of creation, who everything that was created through him, that he looked into his creation and he saw you in your aimlessness and purposelessness, and he loved you. And he wrote himself into the history of the world. He entered into his very creation to save you, born as that little baby who died on the cross to save us from our sin that separates us from God. He came and he made his home among us so that we could make our home with him for eternity. And he did it because he loves us. He loves you. As we close, I want to look at one more example, which is from John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus has been crucified and he's been buried in a tomb, and then people come to the tomb and the tomb is found empty. And one of the people that are at the tomb is Mary Magdalene, whose life was absolutely changed by Jesus. And she's so confused and perplexed as she looks into this empty tomb. And then this is what it says in John chapter 20, verse 14. It says, she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. And in verse 16, Jesus says, Mary. And she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. So here's Mary. She's all confused. She sees a gardener. It's Jesus, but she does not recognize him. She's talking with him, and still she doesn't know that it's Jesus. And it's obvious that something has changed. This is Jesus in his resurrected form. And I've heard it described as if, imagine seeing your niece when she's 10 years old, and then you don't see her again until she's 20 years old. You see her, you wouldn't necessarily recognize immediately that it's your niece. Something has changed. There's been a lot of change. But then you see those familiar features. You see, that is your niece. All of a sudden, when Jesus calls Mary by name, she recognizes Jesus. And I think what we need to understand about this is that even if we do not recognize Jesus, Jesus recognizes you. Jesus is calling you by name. He's calling you to himself. Even if we don't have an accurate view, even if we don't have it all right, if we are looking for Jesus, Jesus finds us. Jesus recognizes you even when you don't recognize him. He's calling you today. He knows everything about you. He's calling you to himself. We read in John chapter 1 today that Jesus came into the world that he created and the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and they rejected him. Each of us has a decision to make today. Will we be those who will believe and accept Jesus, or will we reject him? If we fail to recognize him, if we fail to see him, if we don't consistently come back to looking at Jesus, looking for him, we're at risk of rejecting him. Jesus had a question for Mary. He said, who are you looking for? Are you looking for a good teacher? Are you looking for a spirit? Are you looking for a spiritual experience? Or are you looking for Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Savior of the world? Who are you looking for today? Each of us has a decision to make. Will we believe in Jesus? And logic will get us so far, but it will always require a leap of faith to put our faith, our trust in Jesus. That not every question we have may be answered the way we'd like it to be, but will you put your faith in Jesus? Will you believe him? And not only to believe him, but to accept him, to see him as your Lord, who you follow and obey. Do we see Jesus? Those who accept, those who believe, he gives them the right to become children of God. They are reborn. And God does a new work inside of us where he changes us from the inside out. And we look at Jesus. We see his glory. We see his loving kindness. We see his faithfulness. So today, as we come to the end of our time, would you be willing, if you're able, to stand to your feet with me? And could we close our eyes? And could we direct our hearts towards Jesus? Do you recognize Jesus today? Who are you looking for? Can we close our eyes and look to Jesus? The Bible says that we see now dimly as though in a mirror, but one day we will stand before Jesus face to face. Jesus sees you. He's calling your name. He wrote himself into the story of the world because he loves you. And today, we look at Jesus, and when we look for Jesus, Jesus finds us. Maybe today you recognize that you have been far from Jesus. Maybe you have had an inaccurate view of who Jesus is. Today is an opportunity for us to fix our eyes upon Jesus again. Maybe you've never made that decision. You've never put your faith in Jesus. You've never believed. You've never accepted. But today, do you see Jesus? Have you caught a glimpse? Is the light shining into your life where you would see Jesus and respond to him? And if that's you today and you say, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I'm coming back to you. Or Jesus, for the first time, I'm putting my faith, my trust in you. If that's you, just as an act of faith, an act of obedience, would you just slip up your hand and say, Jesus, that's me. Jesus, that's me today. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that even right now, God, you are correcting our vision. God, as we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we look to you, God, that we would be those who would see you, who would recognize you, who would believe you and accept you, and that we would see your glory, God, as we come back to looking at you again. How can we be those who will not reject Jesus? I think of the words of the old song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. We fix our eyes on Jesus.